Welcome, and thanks for joining me today on Mortgage Manager Playbook, a podcast for sales leaders who want to improve their team's sales performance and originate more loans. I'm Pat Sherlock, your host. Today, we're doing a deeper dive with an interview with Stuart Vickers. Stuart has written a fabulous book, YouTube Millionaire Mastery. This is an excellent book if you're looking to get into the world of personal branding through YouTube. Stuart is well known in the digital marketing space. He is well known for his speaking at conferences and also his consulting firm. So Stuart, let's talk about and dive into how you got into the world of YouTube, which I think is really interesting because you kind of you patterned your business off of doing conferences, and conferences are pretty traditional within our world in the financial sector. So talk about how this morphed into, well, you wanted to do it in a better way.
Yeah, so most of my background was in affiliate marketing, all using SEO. So basically building a website to promote products, rank for all the best type keywords. So if you want a laptop, you search best laptop for mortgage salespeople, for instance. And generally, you'll find quite a tailored article to you. And there was a time when Google really prioritized these kinds of small blogs that were experts on a niche subject. So my particular one was actually, ironically, all about shaving. So the best shaving brush, best safety razor.
Yeah.
So all those ranking really well. The website only had 100 pages on it, but it was doing solid revenue just on the commission there. And with that, then decided to go out and get clients because, let's face it, if I can sell, I was working for an insurance company at the time, and I basically realized if I can sell this $20 razor and make a $2 commission on it, then why can't I apply that to insurance products? That worked really well. So through about 3 blog posts that I wrote, that insurance company then went on to do $50,000 a month.
Wow.
So it's all about that. As you know, with sales, it's the same resources to sell a cheap product as an expensive product. So that's kind of how I started the agency, thinking, yeah, let's go out and help more real businesses with SEO. And I sold that website and basically wanted to use those proceeds to really build the agency, which basically meant I had a choice of I could either blast that on Facebook ads and hope for the best, or I could travel the world, go to great events, upgrade my network, and hopefully get some clients that way. Even if I don't, I'm probably going to have a really good time doing it. I was invited to an event in the Colombian rainforest. There's a mastermind. So very intimate, 20 people. And initially, those kinds of masterminds were really good. So you could say, yes, it probably cost me a good few thousand in terms of the ticket alone was, I think, about $3,000, mm-hmm. then $1,000 on flights, hotels, etc. And I got a client out of it. So you could argue $4,000 to $5,000 cost of acquisition. Then there's my time to factor into that as well. So not a great model, but I think it's one of these things that's labor intensive, but there is a high chance of success. If I go to a conference, I'll always get the VIP dinner option because then you're already pre-screened basically with the top performers in the room and can get serious one-on-one time with them. And mm-hmm. as we know, the more time you spend with someone, the more likely you build that trust, the more likely they are to buy. So yeah, conferences worked really well for me initially. I like to say I got to 6 figures in 6 months. And that's another book I would like to write at some point. But then I hit a real plateau, real ceiling. And I tried to scale it. I was doing more events. And the fact is, I was just coming across more duds. So paying $3,000 to go to an event is great if you get a client out of it who's then worth $50,000. It's terrible if you spend that money, do all that work, and then don't get a client out of it. So I've been to some really big conferences where there's no intimacy whatsoever. And yeah, you're just going from booth to booth. You're not really forming any genuine connections. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So all that really came to hub around, it was this time last year, actually, August last year. And yeah, I'd had some of these clients for a good while. And it was actually at the end of September. There's a kind of time of year when people are sort of reviewing their financials. And for various reasons, loads of them quit. They were getting good results. One of them was really happy with the results, but he had to have some really expensive medical treatment. So he had to hoard all the cash he could. One of them, my top client, basically had a family member who basically decided they wanted to get into this field and so offered to do it for free. Checking back in, I can't see much has happened on that site in the meantime, which is a relief. But yeah, one way or another, that in-person networking, the more you grow, the more of a problem you have with churn. So I'd grown pretty quickly through events, but it wasn't enough to replace the clients that were ultimately mm-hmm. graduating at the end of it, because you can do a really good job and still lose clients as a result if they decide they've got where they want to be. And so I've been trying out all sorts of different things with Facebook ads, Google ads, and in the meantime, I had done a bit of YouTube. And one of the big recommendations I had was just do a simple screen share every day and try and do one every day, which is exactly what I did. And I had a lot of beginner's luck because my first video was all about how I did 500 AI blog posts in less than 30 minutes. And they were actually ranking on Google. They were actually getting traffic. And then, yeah, so I thought this got 10,000 views within about 48 hours.
Wow.
So, damn, YouTube really works. I've gone from nothing to something overnight. So, kept on doing it. And then, when, yeah, had this terrible week where half my clients left. And yet, literally by the end of that week, I had people coming into my inbox saying, I've seen you on YouTube. I'd love to have a call with you about working with you. So, it was perfect timing, absolute transformation where a horrendous start to the week. Whereas one client dropped off, that's okay, we can manage that. Then another one drops off. You think now it's getting scary. And then a really big client leaves. And suddenly I think my revenue is halved in 3 days. But if you look at my agency dashboard over time, you cannot see that dip because by the end of that week, because of YouTube, I had replaced those clients.
Wow, what a story. I can relate to that completely. And so let's dive deeper into actually how you became successful on YouTube. And you talk a lot about the strategy of actually niching. And in other words, you emphasize that as being very important. So if someone's going to use the world of YouTube, having the right niche for long-term success. Talk about what that looks like and why you were doing such basics as really screenshots of things that you did every day, essentially.
Yeah, so in terms of the niche, what does your average person go onto YouTube to achieve? I mean, it's really quite broad, but it's a very attention-driven environment because don't hook people within the first 10 seconds. They've got 20 other options that are tailored to them in their related videos feed. So it really all comes down to the hook. And personally, and your audience as well, we're in this kind of valuable B2B niche. So, or at least finance niche where we don't need massive followings. It's much more about revenue per user. So my average videos were really not getting much traction, but it was the right traction that I was getting. So yeah, in terms of niche, I mean, I always say you want some sort of high ticket offer to sell. I think so many people get on YouTube, people talk to me saying, you're big on YouTube. Do you do well on the ad revenue then? And I'm saying, I don't care about the ad revenue. I can tell you right now, my whole time on YouTube, I've made $2,000 on the ad revenue, but I make, what's the current, probably around $60,000 per month at the moment from clients that have come from YouTube.
And
So,
so talk about what the strategy is to establish you as an expert is really what you are doing and sharing your information. And you make a big point in the book is that some of the stuff that you think that you're sharing may not be that wowing, but it is wowing to other to some people. And that's really how you've established your personal brand.
exactly. So you've really got to think about your dream customer, your dream audience. What do they really care about? And when I say care about, I mean, yeah, it's the fundamental big picture. So I can post a video that's a really detailed case study and label it with all the technical details about what I'm doing here. Whereas if I just upload the video and that says, here's how I achieved this massive dream outcome, then that gets a lot of traction. That blows up. So the purpose of the title, the thumbnail, it's not really to describe the video, it's to get people to click the video, and then you can ultimately serve them with the real information. So every video needs to be have this sort of shell of extreme clickbait. So think about your user. What do they really care about? What's the pain point? And it does kind of come down to that health wealth relationships triangle. So I know there's some massive YouTubers out there who they're just vloggers. Where they'll just sit and talk about controversial issues, things like that, and they get millions of views. I don't understand that model at all, and I don't think ultimately their revenue. I know they do serious money through it, but when you look at the volume they're getting, the revenue doesn't actually look so good. Whereas I've got a really small channel, but I'm solving this pain point for business owners of you want to rank on Google, here's how you rank on Google, and you can potentially have a $1 million business without spending on paid ads. And that comes down to time scale. They want it faster, they want it cheaper. So basically every video is formed around that. Yeah, here's the cheat code. Here's how to achieve what you really want. You want to be number one on Google. You want to make 100 grand next month. Here's how you do it.
So talk about, you talked about the hook, and obviously the hook is, how would someone who has not really thought about the meaning of what a hook is or understood how to actually come up with something that actually is impactful, talk about what how you do that.
It's really tough. So that is probably 90% of the work. There have been so many times I've filmed a really good video, which I know is a really good video, and it ticks all those boxes. Here's how I've done something that was actually really compelling. But then you get the title wrong, you put the wrong packaging on it, and it just doesn't work. So I can say, here's how we got a 400%. I did it just the other day. How we got a 400% increase in organic traffic for this client. They were getting 15,000 visitors a month on Google. We've got them up to 65,000 visitors a month on Google. And that was all within 9 months. But it didn't really hook anyone. It's 400% increase. It's kind of still wading into the technical region. Whereas literally the day before, I've been doing a series on e-commerce SEO. And there was a title I rewrote a few times, but ultimately I went with, it was something like sell more and make millions on Google with these steps. And that was it. It wasn't the ultimate e-com SEO guide. It wasn't how to triple your e-com site's earnings. It was how to sell more and get rich. And that's ultimately what that market is really caring about. So it gets very, really quite primitive in terms of the emotions you've got to play on. And like I say, this doesn't detract from the video. It's still got to be good quality stuff. You want to get the watch time up in order to get that distribution. If you've only got a 30-second average view duration, your video is not going to perform. My average duration is normally between 5 and 7 minutes, so people do stick around, and that's because the videos are actually good. And I've got to keep reminding myself of this. When you've sold the video like this, so you've got the headline, the thumbnail, you want to make sure your opening matches that, and you're saying, by the end of this video, you will learn how I achieved this or how you can achieve this.
So talk about, in other words, you say in the book that your average length of your video is 10 minutes, and then you just mentioned that they watch for basically most of it, which says something about the video. So is 10 minutes, have you found that that is the magic number, or in other words, not a 2 minute video for sure, it's too short.
Yeah, I found 10 minutes is the happy medium, and that happens by accident every single time. When I don't even script my videos, I have a vague idea of what I'm saying, a vague idea of structure. But I get to this point towards the end where I feel like I've kind of said all I need to say. I'm tailing off, so I do a little outro, stop the recording, and it'll be somewhere between 7 and 15 minutes. And that just happens every time. Now, there have been times I've tried to go deep and do a half hour or an hour long video, and you don't really see that much of a change in the metrics. So generally, I would rather do 5 10-minute videos than 1 hour-long video. That's not a limitation. So if you feel like you've got a really good piece of content, then by all means, upload it all in one. But yeah, equally, don't be afraid to break it up into smaller sections.
So you talk about also that really what you've done is taken screenshots, and then you're talking about the screenshots. So you're not having to spend zillions putting it together. You really are doing screenshots and then talking about how impact, whether it saves money or makes something cheaper. And you have found, I think there's sometimes the opinion that it needs to be some grand event, when in fact of the matter is you're doing screenshots, really, is what it's you're doing, because you're instructing. You're basically instructing.
Exactly. So it's live screen shares. Think of it almost like doing a webinar. Basically, marketers are obsessed with webinars, and then they get a bit confused about YouTube, thinking you need this perfect setup. Yeah, now I've got my nice microphone and my nice backdrop. All of this has only happened in the last 3 months. Most of my YouTube success was I was actually in my living room in front of a painting. Did I use my phone camera at the time? I think I was using the phone camera, but basic laptop microphone. And actually, that first video that did really well, I made a complete mistake. I wasn't used to the video editing software, and I exported the wrong video quality. So it was 480p, something like that. So it's very blurry. And I got a load of comments all saying, someone said, was this recorded on a Casio calculator? all this abuse basically saying about why you uploaded such terrible quality, which was all brilliant because it was great for the algorithm. All that engagement that helped that video to blow up.
And you also talk about the most important, obviously, besides the hook, which is really the attraction line of why they should watch your video. But you also talk about the most important point is to be consistent. So you do it every day, in essence, but you record it really once and then you're now loading it for every day, is the way you talked about in the book. Is that what you su would suggest as for someone that really has not done the YouTube world?
Yeah, I mean, obviously starting is always going to be the most difficult bit, but I think you've really got to see that first month as a personal challenge to yourself. As you know, I've got various courses and resources on this, and we are looking at kind of repackaging that into a challenge where basically it's kind of an accountability thing that if you're going to do this, do a video every single day if you possibly can. And if you skip a day, that's okay, but then get the next day. So over a 30-day month, have you done at least 25 videos? And when we launch that challenge, there probably will be an element where if you take every one of these steps and you've not had clients reach out to you, then I probably will get on the call with you to try and work out what's gone wrong there. Because as far as I can see, if you just get on YouTube with a video every single day and do that for a month, I think you're going to get some very hot leads coming into you. The thing about that watch time we were talking about, every time I go back to YouTube and think, is this really that good a platform? I just remember that I'm only a year in, and my average video gets between 500 and 1,000 views. Even if we go back to the beginning, where I was only getting maybe 200 views on a video, if my average retention is 5 minutes, what do you think you would have to pay on any other platform to get 200 qualified people who are interested in what you're saying to pay attention to you for 5 minutes? If you're doing Facebook ads, of course, everyone's just scrolling all the time, and to get that kind of engagement is really unlikely. Whereas if I go to, I pay to speak at conferences, I've spent 10 grand to get on the stage in front of a couple of hundred people, and most of them not receptive to the offer. You compare that with YouTube, it's cost me nothing but half an hour's work and a basic Loom recording to get in front of 200 people who are interested and have stuck with me for 5 minutes. Then you realize for our kind of market, YouTube's the best platform out there.
So talk about, in other words, when they're reaching out to you, so you obviously have a call to action and you talk a lot about that, about the importance of it and how to do it and all this other. And so the call to action drives them contacting you, and that starts your next part of your sales sequence. And so talk about what that looks like and the types of people that are contacting you.
Yeah, so in the early days, YouTube was a pure experiment. I didn't know if it was going to work. And I knew it was working when people started reaching out because they basically Googled me, found my email address, and then were just reaching out saying, "Are you taking on clients right now?" And I hadn't done any call to action, any of the standard marketing process to try and get people into a funnel. So that's when I knew it was working. If I'm getting these results, people signing up for a grand, 2,000 a month just from emailing me because they found my contact details. How could we be smarter about this? What could we achieve if we actually did the right steps? So it wasn't actually until quite late in October, actually, that I finally just launched an email list for my YouTube audience. It's quite easy to get into the sort of YouTube treadmill of video every day, every day, every day, and forgetting about all the other optimizations you could be doing. So lately, I'm trying to be a little bit slower in terms of every day is great, but how can we make sure this video is going to get the absolute maximum reach and the absolute maximum conversion rate? So part of how we're doing that is we have actually now moved on from the newsletter model. So what I was doing was creating this newsletter, and the idea was there are plenty of things I can't share on YouTube because either they're too complicated and they don't get traffic, or they're a bit too advanced and I don't really want Google knowing about them. So I was giving the idea that this was almost like a paywall, some sort of insider access. And they would therefore sign up for this Ranking Revelations newsletter. Now, the value of that is twofold because you're building up this warm audience you can keep selling to. So, a couple of months ago, I launched a private membership option, which was basically group coaching with me. And of course, I had a sign up form to pre-launch it. But of course, ultimately, once I'd sold the early bird to the people who had signed up to the wait list, then I just went to my normal emailing list and said, "This is now live. We've got limited places available. If you've got a list of 2,000 people and you send your offer, then of course you get sign-ups overnight." And that's where you get into the real money printer side of things. So down the line, your list is absolute gold, because if you do that consistently over just 2 or 3 years, you can imagine if you've got 10, 20,000 people on that email list, and either you're launching a new product or you're having a quiet month. Imagine if same thing happened again. What if my whole agency blew up tomorrow? Well, I could just email my list and say, I am doing this one-time offer. Normally, consulting calls with me are $500 an hour, but sign up today. I've got 20 places available. They're $200 an hour. So you're never going to starve if you've got an email list. So
So, how did you promote? In other words, how did you promote your YouTubes? You just loaded them and let the algorithms essentially search them out because of your fabulous, let's say, hook or title that you're using. Did you do any other promotions? Did you go to Facebook to promote your YouTube or talk about that?
not really. So I did do a little bit of slightly grey hat stuff in order to get some engagement on it. There's various tools out there to help you do that. So I was using one called VidOptima. And basically, you've just got a network of people who will search the keyword you're trying to target. So SEO for beginners, something like that. And scroll down until they find the video you've just launched and then click on that. And then they'll watch that a few times, like it, comment, subscribe. And yeah, that was good in the early days. And I think there was a positive correlation there in terms of you need to get that engagement on the video so that you can then get the real audience who are actually going to engage with you. I stopped doing it down the line when basically the brand was taking off quite nicely. I was getting the organic traction and it was starting to damage my brand more than it was helping it, because these comments coming through were quite obviously manipulated. And therefore, I had other people commenting saying, you're using fake comments. I'm saying, yeah, I'm an SEO guy. I'm going to do whatever it takes for the algorithm to work for me. But also, thank you for the comment. That's helping as well. But yeah, I needed to de-risk, just get out of that shady stuff in the beginning when things were taking off really well. So these days, I don't really do anything. Ideally, as you build your email list, you want to not only sell to them, but of course, you want to send your latest videos to them, because then you'll get that organic traction as well. I don't do that too much, because doing a video a day, of course, you're going to burn out your list if they're getting a video from you every single day. So if it's a particularly good video, then I might do that, especially if that video is a pre-sell to some kind of offer. But generally, we keep it more transactional. So in that welcome sequence, we've basically got loads of resources. Every time I do a video that has a new resource I found in it, that resource will go into the welcome message of the newsletter. And therefore, I will say, to get this, just go and sign up to our newsletter. You'll get this valuable resource and also all the last 20 valuable resources I've shared in other videos.
Yeah, that's smart. So talk about, I guess, from the standpoint of the mistakes, if you had to do it over again, and obviously the issue is the recording of the videos. And so you aren't doing them obviously every day. You bunch them together is what I read in the book, and which it makes sense. And so talk about what you've learned that if you had to do it over again, that you would do, and the types of mistakes people make, and then also about you recording every day is really tough to do. So if you can do it once in a block of time, it works better.
It is. So, yeah, most of these things are a mindset issue, which I've encountered as well in August. Obviously, everyone's on the holiday, no one's really watching videos anymore. So, that gave me a lot of time to sort of pause and reflect and think, yeah, what am I really doing here? Because the issue we're doing every day is you do generally run out of stuff to talk about. So, in the beginning, absolutely do your first 30 videos, do your first 60 videos. But I think recently I was getting stuck in my own head, because I was convinced that every video had to be a game changer. So I would have to have some incredible case study to share. And you're not going to have incredible case studies every single day. Whereas, of course, when you do have a good case study, you can repurpose it and basically do five separate videos addressing different aspects of that case study. But if you look at most YouTubers, a lot of their content, I wouldn't say it's thin, but they can be talking about quite simple stuff. And I've got to keep reminding myself, you can just go on camera and just deliver 5 to 10 minutes of value that are really quite simple. It doesn't have to be this big case study necessarily. It could just be a little reminder of something you should do, and you repackage that with the hook to say, here's a big mistake business owners are making right now, and here's how you fix it. and things like that. So in terms of batching, absolutely. I've definitely fallen out of the habit more recently because we are having a bit of a rejig. But generally, I would say as early as you can in the week, try and get your five, six videos all recorded. You don't even have to edit them all at once, but if you can just get them recorded, because for most of us, you've got to sort of psych yourself up to get on camera and make sure you're dressed properly, make sure you brush your hair, things like that. So at least if it's all recorded, and then it's so much easier just to edit and publish over the rest of the week.
So when you are setting them up and are you sending them at this, are you putting them on YouTube at the same time of the day? Have you gotten to that part where some days are better than other days? And do you repeat the topic at some point or talk about the mechanics of how you do that?
Exactly. So yeah, we generally go for, in my case in the UK, we go for sort of mid to late afternoon because that's basically when New York is starting to wake up, and then
Sure.
the other coast, West Coast, will follow shortly after. I wouldn't say I've noticed a huge amount of impact there. I feel like if I were to release the video earlier in the morning so that only the UK and Europe sees it, but then you think, well, then you're getting traction there so that when the US wakes up, you'll then get that exposure as well. So I'm not too much of a believer in publishing time. I see people publishing at weekends. I generally don't do weekends, but people do, and their videos still seem to do very well. In terms of repeating content, I keep reminding myself to do that more. Again, I think I've had the exactly what I say in the book, don't get stuck in your own head, just execute. And lately, I've been my own a victim of my own advice. I've been too perfectionist in the videos, thinking everyone has got to be this big case study. And not only can it just be simple videos offering a bit of advice, but you're absolutely right. I see so many people repeating the same stuff over and over again. Now, if you go into your YouTube analytics, you can see your proportion of returning visitors to new visitors. And we've got good retention. I've got good fans who keep coming back. But generally, each video you publish, you're generally going to get a large proportion of those people who have never encountered you before. So in my case, I've got to keep reminding myself, don't forget, don't skimp on the fundamentals. You can just repeat the same basic stuff. I wouldn't just re-upload the same video again necessarily, because I think the algorithm can detect that. But yeah, just repackage that same message in a different format. I know people who will do a series of videos on a topic and then bundle them all together and then upload it as 1 hour long video. I don't think there's a huge amount of benefit there, but you basically got a free video from work you've already done.
True, and makes it a little bit easier. So talk about mistakes that people, if you mistakes you made and also mistakes you see other people making when they're dealing with YouTube. It sounds like the perfection mistake is probably number one. People have the idea that that has to be a Hollywood production and it really doesn't.
I mean, so many people who say they're going to do it, they're going to do it. And then it's a month later. Have you done it? No. Not done a single video yet. Whereas on the flip side, you see some people get into that mindset of, I just need to do a simple screen share every day, and then they dominate and they're overtaking me. So yeah, it's definitely that execution argument. I think personally, more recently, I've been focusing, like I say, much more on conversion and basically making sure that thinking much more about the funnel, basically. So if I think about that first video I did that got 10,000 views, I didn't do any sort of lead generation around that. So I got some subscribers out of it, but that was kind of it. So of those 10,000 people who watched those videos, how many of those am I still in touch with? Probably not that many. Whereas what I'm trying to do now is basically make sure every video has got a kind of a funnel to it. So we're not doing the newsletter so much anymore. Instead, I'm basically thinking around pillars of content I want to address. So one example is YouTube itself. Now I'm doing much more of the coaching and teaching around YouTube. I've got my YouTube course that I want to sell, and therefore I'm going to be doing a load of YouTube content on YouTube. So imagine if I do 10 videos all on how to sell your service business on YouTube. And then between those two, to join the dots, you want that free lead magnet. So you create that free resource that basically adds value, gives them something to look forward to, something that's actually gets them on the way to get started, but then kind of relies on the course for those who want to take it to the next level. So what I'm basically saying here is if I do these 10 videos all on YouTube, then, well, I did an experiment on this the other day. So I did a case study on how I've recently built a one-page lead generation website. It's for a particular kind of financial product, and it's one of these grudge purchases. People who need that product need that product. They can't get out of it. I got that page. It's a very small website, but that one page I got to number one on Google for that product, and that goes straight through to another provider. I get a decent commission on that. So the first month that this website was actually monetized and connected with that partner, I made $5,000 in customer lifetime value. So I did the video on it. Now, 6 months ago, I had just done the video and I maybe have had some sort of resource for them in the newsletter. Instead, this time, I said, I'm going to do you a free course on everything I did to make this website a success. And you can sign up to the pre-launch here. It's going to be a paid course down the line, but if you're on the pre-launch, you will get it for free. That sign-up got a 10% opt-in rate. So the video got 3,500 views, and we therefore get 350 sign-ups from it.
Wow.
So that's much better. When you think in those terms of, I've got this paid offer that's worth this, I've got this free offer to get people into the funnel, and then I've got the YouTube video basically promoting both, and that's getting all the reach. So you get 10% into the, yeah, basically I want every video I make to get an opt-in rate of 10%, then ultimately sell probably 20 to 30% of those leads on the paid offer. So hypothetically, it comes down to how can I get paid most per video? So if I want to make $2,000 or $3,000 per video from that offer, what does that need to look like? What does that paid offer need to look like? How do I turn that into a free lead magnet to bridge that gap and get people into my funnel? And therefore, what should the video be that says how to achieve this massive great result? Here's the free resource, and if you want to take it further, there's this paid offer.
Right. So talk about before we end today, for the commission salesperson and how they, and obviously a commission salesperson's working under a corporate entity, and they are obviously in the same boat as everybody is. You're always looking for customers. And so what would be the first steps that you think, like, again, a commission loan officer who is working in a corporate environment?
Yeah, I mean, I think there has to be a degree of, is the corporate environment okay with you building a little bit of a personal brand representing yourself in that way?
Sure.
But once you've got that, fundamentally, it comes down to what are those pain points of my ideal
Right.
customer profile, if you like. So, and therefore, what are the sort of, dare I say it, the clickbait headlines you can spawn off that? So, yeah, what do homeowners get wrong when they're applying for a loan, or how to get
Sure.
approved or double your chance of success approving for a loan? What are the biggest mistakes people make when applying for a loan? So yeah, pretty much, it's very notable now that people use YouTube as their regular television now. I do it too. You get up in the morning and think, I could watch normal terrestrial TV, there's nothing on. Or if I go onto YouTube, there's now a lot of really good quality content on there that's tailored to everything I enjoy.
Right.
And so my cats recently had kittens, and therefore you start searching these questions, and therefore the algorithm starts giving me more
Right.
content around this topic. So if someone's been going to YouTube to try and work out financial planning, ultimately it does come down to the sort of make money online, how to get rich is kind of the biggest market there. But even in terms of how to get your dream house or how to afford your dream house, how to get your dream house faster, that could well be a good funnel for you there.
Good point. And my last question, when you look at the future of this, and you've just really done it in the last almost 2 years, what do you see going on with the world of YouTube? If you had to say the future and how that relates to selling?
Yeah, so most people say that YouTube now is like blogging 10 years ago, and I'd probably agree with that. Even though I'm still an SEO, still getting results with blogging, it's not easy. It's not just publish a blog post and suddenly you build a brand. Whereas YouTube, it kind of is. So to get back to your previous question, I even think people who are just wanting to get an employed job, basically, why don't you build a bit of a personal brand? Because if you're a designer and you do 50 videos all about design principles, then there's a good chance you're going to pick up people who want to hire you, whether it's full-time, freelance, whatever. So I think that kind of experts getting on YouTube delivering how-to content, I think that's only going to grow for the foreseeable. I think there is a threat, as every industry is worried about AI right now. There is this whole scheme of let's pump out a million AI videos. I think in terms of that kind of instructional content, then I think that's going to be the last thing to be touched because yeah, we've just had an in-depth conversation about how to dominate YouTube and sell with YouTube. Whereas I think if I had an AI that would then run through Synthesia or one of these sort of deep fake headshot generator spokesperson platforms, then we would not have got into this depth and detail that comes
Right.
from experience. So down the line, yeah, it's probably going to be an issue. But if I look at my growth over the last year or so, getting on YouTube was definitely the best thing I've done. And yeah, there have been times I've had similar worries, and I realized the best solution there is just to do more on YouTube, get more sales, get more cash in the bank, and then you can potentially be done before that's even become a problem.
Well, that's true. That could be that's the challenge for everybody to, in other words, to as we move to these other, who knows what's going to replace YouTube. I mean, but at this point, YouTube is a valuable component for salespeople for sure. It
Yeah, so to
gives
answer
you
your question, I think if I had a deep fake spokesperson trying to help me solve my problem, and then but in the sidebar I had all these actual human experts, then I sense I'd probably move on very quickly to the human experts.
yeah.
And there are these tools for cold email where basically you can automatically insert your company name and you can mass spam all these companies with a personalized video saying, "Hello, David at whatevolutions.com." And every cold email expert I know says, "Do not do that. No one is buying that. If you send them AI generated video, that's not going to convert."
That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. So, Stuart, how, I mean, again, I love your book. I thought it's practical and certainly goes in great depth, step by step. How can people get a hold of you? How can, what is your contact information?
Yes, you can find me as Stuart Bickers on LinkedIn for more sort of general queries. I try and check that as much as I can. Otherwise, SEOJesus.com. If you Google SEO Jesus, then I do dominate that search result. There was someone else before me who still got the Twitter account, but generally, I've taken over most of that search result. Yeah, LinkedIn's good. Otherwise, come and find me on YouTube
Yeah, find you on YouTube. That's how I found you.
as well.
So anyway, so I appreciate sharing your wisdom, and I certainly appreciate all of this. Is a fabulous book. Highly recommend it. It's a great start to get yourself doing it. As Stuart mentions, you have to make that first step, and I think this helps you along the way. So I want to thank you, Stuart, for sharing your wisdom, and certainly I want to recommend for everyone to listen to some more of our different podcasts that are on patsherlock.com. Thanks again, Stuart.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to Mortgage Manager Playbook. You can catch up on all our episodes by subscribing to receive each week a new show. Don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and team members. If you're looking to increase production, call me to discuss my prospecting sales training program, Ramping Up Realtor Referral Sources. Check out my website, www.patsherlock.com.